You're listening to the Church on the Move Roswell podcast. We hope this message inspires you, encourages you, and challenges you to take your next step with Jesus. Thanks for listening. Let's check it out.
I learned from the Sanchez family when I got here that when you walked into their house, you greeted everybody on the way in and you greeted everybody on the way out. And if you didn't, something was wrong with you. So I would walk in, and there's this big, huge family, and I'd be like, hello, Bertha, hello, 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 hello. And you would greet, and you greet people you didn't even know. How are you doing? Because they had so many. And then when you would leave, you'd do the same thing, because I'm learning, and I learn their culture. Can I tell you this? To this day, when I walk into a room, if I'm just in a room, I'll go greet everybody. Because I felt like that was a great thing to do, especially in this culture. Because people are so unfriendly. So this is why I'm telling you this. When you come to Christ, you have to learn his culture, his ways, and they have to trump your ways, what you were raised as, what you were raised with. Because God is always trying to help us. But how can he help us if we're unwilling to change? So Luke chapter 14, listen to this. The parable of the great feast. Hearing this, a man sitting at the table with Jesus exclaimed, what a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God. How many think it would be great to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God? I want to see what kind of food. I bet it's non-GMO. Come on, somebody. Jesus replied with this story. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. Let me stop here. If you're a born-again believer, you received an invitation. He's talking about you. He's talking about y'all, us, yuns. Some at us. So just put yourself in the story. You received an invitation. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guests, come, the banquet is ready. But they all began making, let's see how Jesus liked it. One said, I have just bought a field and must inspect it. Please excuse me. Another said, I have just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me. Another said, I just got married and she won't let me come. It's close. He said, so I can't come. I know what happened. Women are the same and so are men. It's like, you ain't going. We just got married. You staying home, boy. And when you're on your honeymoon, you're like, I'll stay home all day. Okay, all right. The servant returned and told his master what they had said. His master was furious and said, go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. After the servant had done this, he reported, there's still room for more. So his master said, go out into the country lanes behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. For none, everybody say none. For none of those I first invited will get even the smallest taste of my banquet. So you're invited. And these guys began to make excuses. Now I want you to notice this. Nothing they did was bad. It's not bad to buy a field. But who buys a field without seeing it? I'm just questioning. This is my own mind. Like, because I could sell you some land in Florida and it'd be full of swamp. And, who does that? Who buys oxen without trying them out? Come on. Like, I have no idea what that means. But anyway, but it'd be like this. So I'm going to relate it to us because we're not oxen driven. But who goes buys a car without seeing it? I mean, somebody say, I'll sell you this car and you get in. It looks great on the outside, but no engine. What do we do before we buy? We test drive. How do you have these oxen? I mean, come on. You buy an oxen, you haven't tried them out? I don't understand that. And then a guy says, I get married. So what kind of excuse is that? Like, you tell your woman, we're going. Yeah, I didn't think that'd go over well. But anyway. But you see, none of these things are bad. They're not bad. But they began to make excuses why they can't come and do something the Lord wants. And it was the Lord who gave them the giftings to be able to buy the land, to get married, to buy the oxen. See, God, any gift and ability you have came from him. I don't care. Even people that don't believe in God, they came from him. All these people using their gifts and talents, every gift and talent comes from God, and it's without repentance. In other words, you'll be held accountable for that gift and talent. But they use their gifts and talents to make excuses. I'm too busy for you, Lord. And the Lord says at the end, he was furious, and none of those who were first invited will be allowed to come. Folks, it's amazing to me how many people think they're going to heaven. And how many are unwilling to do anything God says, but we're all going to heaven. It's amazing to me how people don't like different colors of skin. I always say different colors of dirt because we're all made from the dirt. People can get upset. I'm not made from the dirt. Yes, you are. You go back. When you die, your body will go back to the dust, the dirt. And we're different colors of dirt. And people say, well, I don't want to be around that color of dirt. And I don't want to be around that color of dirt. Well, then how are you going to like heaven? All you're telling God is, I don't want to go to heaven. We all bleed the same. We all hurt the same, have the same pain. And so we see this, that Jesus says, these guys will not be allowed because they used what I gave them, their abilities to say no to me. They should have dropped everything and said, I'm going to go be with the banker. I'm going to go with the Lord. But we don't do that in our world. It's just like people tell me sometimes when I invite them to church, my wife and I invite all kinds of people to church. And when we invite them, we'll have people say invariably like, well, I can't go to church. Why? Because, man, if I go to church, man, God will get me. Like the ceiling will fall or I'll get zapped. And now I tell them this. I'm like, really? I want to see that. They're like, what do you mean? I said, I want to see. I'm not going to sit next to you, but I'm going to sit like 3 or 4 seats away. Because when the Lord zaps you and you become a crispy critter, I'm going to be like, that was cool. Let's go get another one. Come on. Wouldn't it be kind of cool to, I mean, you're sitting there and all of a sudden the Lord says, whap, just zap somebody. It's like, wait a minute. And so it doesn't happen. People have this wrong perception of God. He's not trying to zap anybody. He's trying to reach everybody. God is for us, not against us. And so people use that excuse. I'm like, I want to see that. And if it happens, I want to see it again. Like, Lord, do it again. I just want to be a few seats away. I don't want any aftershock. But we need to understand that every excuse given, that these folks given, was given to an attachment to worldly things over God and his word. God wants our full attention, our full commitment, our complete devotion with no excuses. And when we read God's word, it is a call to action, and excuses don't work with God. Well, here's why I can't tithe. I don't have any money. You don't have any money because you're unwilling to tithe. Nothing will change in your world until you do. Well, I'm too busy. I don't have time to serve. Yes, you can. Well, I'm not that spiritual. How spiritual do you need to become a greeter? You just need to be kind of nice. Folks, I'm going to say this to you, and I mean this. I've had so many people over the years tell me they become part of our church, not because of the preaching, not because of the worship. And by the way, your worship was incredible today. And but they didn't come for any of that. You know what they tell me? Because someone shook my hand and said, you're welcome. We're glad that you're here. Because a lot of people come to the church, they don't know if they're going to be welcomed or not. And I'm amazed how people, and just, you know, some of you bigger guys, you can be security team. Some of you like to fight anyway. Just walk around looking like, you going to act up, boy? You give them that stinky eye? It's like, no, I ain't going to act up now. But there's things we can do. You can usher. How hard is it to help seat somebody and pass a bucket? You don't have to be that spiritual. Now, if you're on the prayer team, you might want to learn something. But here's the thing. You can learn. What I'm saying is there's no excuse. Well, I'm just not a church kind of guy. You better become a church kind of guy and a church kind of woman. Because in the presence of the Lord, so much is done that we have no idea. But we change over a period of time. We change and we think, well, man, I'm changing. Yeah, because you're in the presence of God. You're doing what he asks. You're not making excuses. Victims make excuses. Conquerors take responsibility. And we are called to be more than conquerors. And we're called to be victors. In Matthew 25, 14 through 30, it's the story of the talents that God gave one 5, one 2, one 1. And the one he gave five to and the one he gave two to, they came back to him and said, look, we doubled it. We got your five and another five. And he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Then he came to the third one. And the third one said, hey, you know what? You gave it to me. I know you are a hard taskmaster, basically. He had a wrong perspective of who God was. I know you reaped where you didn't sow. You gathered where you didn't straw. I knew you could do these things. And the master said, if you knew I could do these things, why didn't you just give that gift that I gave you, that talent, and give it to the bankers so I could get a little interest? He wasn't even expecting great returns. He just wanted something on his return. He wanted something for his investment. And God makes an investment in our lives. We get born again. The Holy Spirit lives in us. So we can take a step back and do nothing for the kingdom. That's not a good return on his investment. He invests in us. He saves us from eternal death. He saves your life. He gives you everything. And we give him nothing in return at times. Attending church is great. Being a part of the church is better. Reading the word is great. Acting on the word is better. And that's all God is saying. He says to the one, he said, I hid it. I was afraid. The Lord says, what? He said, you knew I could do all these things. Why didn't you give it to the bankers? And he said he was afraid. You know, Jesus never addressed his fear because it wasn't fear. He said, you're not afraid. You're lazy and you're wicked. I gave you a gift and talent. Wanted you to do something with it, and you hid it because you're lazy. You're not afraid. That's what people use all the time. I'm so afraid. Really? What are you afraid of? Well, I'm afraid it doesn't work. Well, nothing else has worked. I mean, I don't understand people. Like, the world hasn't worked because people are like, I'm broke, I'm down and out, whatever. And I'm like, well, do what God says. Well, I can't afford to do that. I'm like, no, you can't afford to stay where you're at. Right. Keep doing what you're doing and you keep getting what you get. So we need to start doing something different. We've got to learn the culture of God. Just like when I moved here and I learned different cultures and how people responded and did things. I'm telling you, it was a blessing to my life. You and I have to be willing to change. Change what? Everything. If it needs changing, we got to be willing. You can't make excuses. God makes an investment in all of us through his son, Jesus. And he expects some kind of return. He didn't expect great things. He didn't say you didn't do anything great. He said if you had just given it to the bankers and I got a little bit of interest, he'd have been satisfied. But some of us think, well, I got to do great things for God. Why can't we just do something for God? And we never know how great that'll turn out. Just think if you were a door greeting. And you welcome somebody that didn't think they were welcomed in the church. And they got saved, born again, their whole family changed. Isn't that something great? And the thing is, we may never know it until we get to heaven. But we used our gifts and talents for the kingdom. That's all God is saying. No excuses. Here's some quotes. I like these quotes. I found these. Benjamin Franklin said, he that is good for making excuses is seldom good for anything else. George Washington Carver said, 99% of the failures come from people who have the habit of making excuses. Billy Sunday said, an excuse is a skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. Jordan Belfort said, the only thing standing between you and your goal is the story you keep telling yourself as to why you can't achieve it. I love this one. It's my favorite one. Don Wilder said, excuses are the nails used to build a house of failure. We got to quit making excuses. Take responsibility, accountability. Yep, I did it. Yep, I didn't do it. Yep, I'm not doing it. Yep, I need to start getting right. Whatever it is, just take accountability. Don't make excuses. Well, you don't understand, preacher. This happened to me when I was a kid. I know, and it's horrible. It's horrific. We're not minimizing your pain. But Jesus said, I came to heal the brokenhearted. Who's he talking about? That little boy, little girl that was hurt as a kid. I came to heal you. But how can he heal us if we're not willing to trust him? And when God invests in us, the Holy Spirit, when we ask Jesus to be Lord of our life, when he invests in us, he gives us the ability to trust him. Now, I can see when the world doesn't trust God. But you and I, we should trust him. How do I know if I trust him? Are you willing to do what his word said, regardless of what you're seeing? Excuses are the things that destroy us. Joseph Greene did a survey of 1,100 individuals and found that 97% of them had a habit of making excuses, especially at work. 50% of them stated that they always make excuses at work rather than accept responsibility for an error or an oversight. Research has found that up to 20% of people may be chronic procrastinators, frequently making excuses to avoid tasks, to avoid doing something. You know, the Bible says faith without works is dead in James 2:14-26. Now I want to say this to you. We are saved by grace, not by works, lest any man should boast. That's why we can't say, God, I did this, I did this, I did this, so he saved me. Salvation is a gift. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. None of us do. It's a gift God gives us. We must learn to receive it. But then once you're saved, you are saved to do good works. So what works are you saved to do? What works are you not doing that you should be doing? You say, well, I don't know what I should be doing. That's why you get involved. You start getting involved in the kingdom, in the church, and then you move to wherever it is you have peace with. You can start at ushering and end up in children's church. Thank God for the people taking care of our babies and our children today. Thank God. And I don't know how many people over the years I've met that said, I didn't even realize I could teach. Man, I can teach. And they're teaching kids the Bible. But they said they had no idea because we'll never experience and know all the gifts and talents we have with us until we give them to God and say, God, you have my life. I would have never thought I'd be doing this when I first got saved. This was not in my thought process that I was going to stand in front of people. I hated to stand in front of people. I was fearful. I was deathly afraid. I just wouldn't do it. And yet here I am. Why? Because God knows what's in you. And when you begin to, and all I did was start ushering. I started greeting. I was a head catcher back when they caught people. You know, people get prayed for and they'd fall. Yeah, I was one of the head catchers, like, and if it's a big boy, I was like, you're on your own. And then we, you're too big, man. You fall. Better be God because you're going to fall hard. And if you're faking it, you're going to know. Bleeding everywhere. Like, why didn't you catch me? Dude, you're twice my size. Good luck. But I just got involved. I had no idea. I just was told you couldn't just sit. You had to do. And then God can lead and direct us. He can show you what's in you, and then you're more fulfilled in life. John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. This leaves no room for any excuses. Matthew 21, if you would. The book of Matthew, chapter 21. I'm going to read, then I'm going to begin to close. Matthew 21. This is so good. Verse 28 through 32. But what do you think about this? Jesus said. A man with two sons told the older boy, son, go out and work in the vineyard today. The son answered, no, I won't go. But later he changed his mind and went anyway. Then the father told the other son, you go. And he said, yes, sir, I will. But he didn't go. Which of the two obeyed his father? They replied, the first. Then Jesus explained his meaning. I tell you the truth, corrupt tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you do. For John the Baptist came and showed you the way, the right way to live, but you didn't believe him, while tax collectors and prostitutes did. And even when you saw this happening, you refused to believe him and repent of your sins. Folks, we sit in church week after week after week. You hear messages, and by the way, your pastor's a great preacher. I mean, he's really, really good and very crazy smart. I mean that in the nicest way. Like, he might be crazy, but he's crazy smart. And you hear it and hear it and hear it. My question is, what's the point of hearing it and hearing it if you never do it? And does God have the opportunity, the ability, do you give him permission to come into your life and change your whole culture? Yeah, you may have been raised in this family and that family and this thing and this culture, but can God come into your world and say, that's not going to work for me. You've got to learn my culture. Can he do that in your life? We can sit here week after week after week and hear, but if we never do, folks, what good does the word do us? No excuse works with God. And you may have had the most horrific things happen to your life. God is the healer. He is the one that helps you to overcome. He's the one that heals the brokenness in us. And can I say this? We all have some brokenness in us. We all have some hurts and pains. You can't get through life without any of them. And then some people just blame God. They blame him. Like it's his fault. God, if you love me, this would never happen. God, if you love me, this would happen. God, if you cared, then you'd do this thing for me. God is not your dog. He knows everything. He's your God. And he knows what you need and what needs to happen. But how can he heal? I wish God would heal me. How can he heal us when we're doing nothing? When we just sit, we don't act. It's always shocking to me when people get in problems in their marriage and stuff, and the first thing they want to do is, oh, well, I got to step down from serving because my wife and I need to get things right. No. Are you going to step away from your job? Are you going to quit your job? Are you going to go bankrupt? You're going to, no, you're not going to, are you going to quit going out and eat? You're going to quit socializing? No. Everybody just wants to quit serving God, and that's the worst thing you could do. In fact, if you're having issues, you should serve God more. Amen. Because that's how the answers come, not less. I always tell people that, like, what is, did you quit socializing? No, I'm going to go out. Did you quit going out to eat? No, I'm going to go out and eat. Did you quit going to work? No, I'm not going to quit going to work. Did you quit going to your kids' ball games? No, I'm not going to do that. The only thing you want to quit is God? Wow. Tim said when he got up here, Pastor Tim said when he got up here, you look in the mirror and go, woo! At my age, you look in the mirror and go, It's like, I was dreaming that I was 20 again. And I looked in the mirror, I definitely ain't no 20. See, good intentions won't get you into God's kingdom. This parable illustrates the importance of action over empty promises. We all must examine ourselves, and if you are in the habit of making excuses, blaming others, then you can repent of that today and just start doing what God says. Change doesn't happen overnight. It's a gradual process that requires patience and a willingness to change. What needs to be changed in your life? Start changing that. Maybe you got to change some friendships, relationships. Maybe you got to get rid of those. Maybe you got to, you know, and I say get rid of them, just not get around them. Not let them have the influence in your life. Maybe it's even family members that when you get around them, there's just so much pressure to do things you know are wrong. Maybe you got to stay away from them a little bit. Oh, what that? God wouldn't want me to do that. Yes, he would, because now you're part of a different family. And this family should take precedence over everything else. And it doesn't mean you don't love people. It doesn't mean you don't care for them. It just means that I'm going to follow God. I've got to care more for God than I do for anything else. And then it's those people that end up changing, seeing their whole families change because you took a step. You stayed the course. You didn't back down. Because when you're around people, this is a thought for some of you, when you get saved and you start changing, the people that are closest to you, if they don't change with you, they're uncomfortable around you now. So what do? They try to bring you back into where they're comfortable with you. Like have a beer, smoke this, whatever. Let's go out and do that. And they're always trying to bring you back to what's comfortable for them. That's just the way we are. I'm uncomfortable with this guy now. I don't even know how to talk to him. We were friends, and now he's saved, going to church. I don't even know what to think about this guy or this girl. So what do we do? Come on, man. I remember when I first got saved, and I started stopping drinking and that, and my friends, they never bought when I was with them. And now I'm riding with a guy coming back from Portales to college to Clovis, and he gave me my nickname, and he said, let's go get some beer. And I said, oh, I'm not drinking anymore. I got saved. He said, you got what? I didn't even know how to explain it. I said, I don't know. I got saved. I went to church, and I was so ignorant of it. And then he said this. These are the words. I'll buy. Let's go drink. I'll buy. He never wanted to buy before. Why do they want to buy now? Because now he's uncomfortable with me. And so the only way he can get comfortable with me is if I keep doing what I always done. What I'm saying to you is, guys, we can't let people do that. We've got to hold on and keep moving forward. And if you do, you'll see you'll see families change. People in your life that you care about will change because you took a stand. And they'll know when they get right with God, they got to take the same stand. It's what we do. It's who we are. Change doesn't happen overnight, so don't get down on yourself. It's a gradual process. And for some of us, it's a real gradual process. Some of us are just more stubborn and hard-headed. Some of us just, we make mistakes. How many in here make mistakes? Welcome to the human race. And God still loves us in all of our mistakes. He loves us in knowing the mistakes you're going to make down the road. God is not here to condemn. He's here to encourage and to help. But we have to believe that. Excuses never have gotten anything done. So you still have a job to do in Roswell and the surrounding area. This church has a big job to do. You got to continue to reach people. touch lives. But man, we need God to help us. And he's willing to help any of us if we just ask and act. Doesn't mean you'll do it perfectly. Doesn't mean you won't sin. Doesn't mean you won't make mistakes. We all will do that. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But what it means is we have a God that's long-suffering that'll help us as we change our thinking, change our mind, change the cultures that we know to line up with his word. No excuses. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for being here. I thank you for teaching us. I thank you for helping all of us to do what you want us to do. Father, I pray people are encouraged today and they'll examine their own hearts and minds, and whatever excuses they make and they give themselves, they'll repent today and say, God, forgive me. I'm going to stop making that excuse. I'm going to stop blaming that person. I know it's hurtful, but God, I just want help. I want healed. I want strengthened. I want help. And God, as you help Moses, you'll help us. And Moses, we have something Moses didn't have. You didn't live in Moses. You lived in a tabernacle. But today we're the tabernacle. We're the temple of the Holy Ghost. You live in us. We have a greater understanding and revelation of even of the prophets of old. So God, may we take it seriously and be willing to change. And change things in our lives. Say, yep, this is how I was raised, but man, it wasn't always right. So I'm going to start honoring God. We need to be doers of your word, not hearers only. Because when we're hearers only, we deceive ourselves. God, help us all in Jesus' name. We just ask him for it. If you're here with every head bowed and you say, preacher, would you pray with me? I walk with God, but I walked away. Or preacher, you know what? I've never given God permission in my life. You know, folks in America, so many people say they're saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. I prayed this prayer. But salvation is a byproduct of lordship. The Bible says, my Bible says, your Bible says, that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouths, the lordship of Jesus will be saved. Today, in our culture, we want salvation without lordship. That means we want saved. We want fire insurance. We want hell insurance. But God's not an insurance salesman. When we make Jesus Lord of our life, what we're saying is, I give you permission to my life, and I'm willing to follow you, and it may be tough, it may be hard, you may stumble at times, but we keep getting back up following him. That's all it means. But lordship comes, and then he'll save your life from eternal death and from your sin. So if you're here and you say, preacher, I want to come home, I want to get this right, or preacher, I'm ready to make Jesus Lord of my life because I do want saved. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I need God's help. If that's you, in Jesus' name, all over this place, wherever you're seated, and you say, include me in your prayer. I'm asking you just one simple thing. Are you ready? It's simple, but it's so profound. In Jesus' name, if that's you, would you just lift your hand and say, preacher, include me in your prayer. God bless you. 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 I see the hand back there. God bless you. I'm just looking. I know the ushers are so good to help me. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. I'm just looking around the church one more time. I don't have a sad story. This is between you and God. This is the Holy Spirit. If you're like, man, I'm not sure. I don't know what I should do. Then lift your hand. You say, why do you want me to lift my hand? Because for two reasons. I want to know if I'm praying for anybody. But more importantly, and the most important reason is, the Bible says if we acknowledge God, if we confess God or Jesus before men, he'll confess us before our Father in heaven. If that word, when you really look it up, is an acknowledgement. I'm having you raise your hand so you can say, I'm willing to acknowledge God in my life. I want him in my life. Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else? Thank you, sir. I'm just looking around. Thank you. Thank you over here. Thank you. Thank you. That's what we're doing. Thank you, sir. I see you waving at me. God bless you. Father, in Jesus' name, so many hands, so many lives that you care about, you love, and you died for. May they never be the same because of you today. And as we just come to you with sincere hearts, God, with all our strengths and brokenness and stuff, you accept us the way we are, but you invest in us. So God, give us the ability that you do to trust you, to act on your word, to be doers of your word. Just to be doers. Doesn't mean we'll be perfect. It's just we purpose to be doers. And even in our imperfection, part of being a doer of your word is repenting and asking you to forgive us. And God, that's part of it. So thank you for changing lives in this place today. Thank you for giving us your thoughts and what we need to do in our life. In Jesus' name. If you lifted your hand, I want you to pray this prayer aloud with me right where you're seated, loud enough for your ears to hear your voice. The Bible says we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth. If you're right with God, would you join with us in support of these folks and support them? And maybe you didn't lift your hand, but you should have. Folks, I'm going to introduce you to Jesus. He's the only Savior of the world. Would you pray this prayer with me aloud? Would you pray, God, I choose to believe in your Son, Jesus. And I believe he's the only way. And you raised him from the dead to give me a new life. So with my heart, according to your word, I choose to believe. And now with my mouth, I willingly confess, Jesus, be Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me, and thank you for forgiving me. I choose you. Thank you for choosing me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. Thank you, Church on the Move. It's an honor.
Thanks for listening today. If you'd like to find out more about Church on the Move, like our service times, or how you can connect with us, you can visit cotmroswell.com.